This is session, I don't know what this session code is, but it's MDT 2013 and Windows 8.1 tips and tricks. In the next hour or so, we want to go through and talk about what's changed in MDT 2013 and some of the items that you would run into as you're trying to deploy Windows 8.1 and how we can help out with those items in MDT. So first of all, we should probably just do a quick overview of MDT 2013. The preview is available now. It adds support primarily for Windows 8.1 and Windows Server 2012 R2, as well as Configuration Manager 2012 R2. That means that in order to support really all of those, it needs to use the new ADK for Windows 8.1. So all of those are out in preview. The RTM version of the ADK actually came out at the beginning of this week. The final versions of these will be out October 18th. So MDT Configuration Manager will be out at Windows 8.1 GA. You can play around with the Windows 8.1 RTM version with the RTM ADK, with the preview versions of MDT and Config Manager R2, but you really should wait for GA to do any larger scale production deployments. As the bits that you can get today are basically what's available on MSDN. You'll get some evaluation MAC keys on MSDN. But you won't be able to update your KMS or anything like that until the final versions come out in mid-October. So kind of consider it a preview of everything that'll be coming at GA. With the GA release, we will be updating Windows 8.1. There'll be a fairly large update added to Windows 8.1 before it's really truly considered GA and ready to deploy. So expect that. Expect to go out to the Volume License Service Center as of October 18th. And download the Windows 8.1 updated image at that point. Use that to create your own golden image and then start your deployments from there. As far as the functionality goes, MDT 2013 versus MDT 2012 Update 1. Update 1 supported the Windows AIK and the Windows ADK for Windows 8. With MDT 2013, you can only use the Windows 8.1 ADK. The implications for that really have to do with the supported operating systems. The ADK for Windows 8.1 only supports deploying Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 8.1. So as a result, MDT 2013 only supports deploying Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 8.1. If you're deploying any older operating systems like Windows XP or Windows Vista, you would want to keep MDT 2012 around for doing that. It'll continue to be supported as long as those operating systems are supported. So you can continue using 2012 Update 1 until end of life for XP and Server 2003. But you can then use MDT 2013 for Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1. If you're using Configuration Manager, MDT 2013 will only support the new version of Config Manager, Config Manager 2012 R2. That's really tied into that requirement for using the Windows 8.1 ADK. Only Config Manager 2012 R2 will support OS deployment of Windows 8.1 because it's the only version that will support the Windows 8.1 ADK. If you're using older versions of Config Manager like 2007 R3 or 2012 SP1 and you want to use it with MDT, you'll want to continue using MDT 2012 Update 1 for those and just use 2013 for Config Manager 2012 R2. If you're running MDT today, so if you're doing light touch deployments, you would go through a fairly simple process to upgrade from MDT 2012 Update 1 to MDT 2013. How many of you are using MDT today with light touch? So a good number. The basic process that you would want to go through is make sure you have a good backup. We don't think there will be any problems, but if you call us and say, well, it's not working, we would say, well, go back to the backup for now. We'll try to figure out what's going on. We'll try to solve the problems, and we'll go forward from there. That backup really is just take a complete copy of that deployment share. Copy it off to another server, whatever you need to do to create a backup copy of that deployment share, just in case. The update process then is to uninstall the ADK for Windows 8 or uninstall Windows AIK, whichever one you're using today, install the ADK for Windows 8.1, and install the new MDT 2013 MSI. You don't need to uninstall MDT first. The MSI is smart enough to see that there's an older version there, and it'll do the in-place update of that to MDT 2013. Once that's done, you can launch Workbench. It will see your existing deployment chairs. You'll just need to right-click on each one of them and choose to upgrade them. That upgrade process will replace all the scripts. So if you've done any customization to the MDT built-in scripts, those customizations would get overridden. It'll drop in the new ADK tools, and after you do the first update process of that deployment chair, it'll then build new boot images. So you would then need to go and create new boot media, update WDS if you're doing Pixie booting, just to make sure that you're using the latest versions of all of the Windows PE pieces. So fairly straightforward, not any different than what you would have gone through to go from, say, MDT 2010 to 2012 or 2012 to 2012 Update 1. Fairly simple, probably takes under an hour to go through that process, primarily because you'll have to wait for that update process to generate the new Windows PE images. In the case of Config Manager, how many of you are using MDT with Config Manager? So that'll be a little bit more work, primarily because you'll need to upgrade Config Manager first. The process that you need to go through to update Config Manager is very similar. You need to uninstall the current ADK for Windows 8, install the ADK for Windows 8.1, then install the upgrade to Config Manager to take it to R2. That upgrade process is kind of like the typical service pack installation with Config Manager. You click through the installation wizard, choose to upgrade your existing sites, and it goes through and does all that for you. After that's done, you would then need to deploy the new Config Manager client to all your existing computers. That's easy enough to do. There's several different ways to go about doing that. And then you can start working on MDT. After you upgrade from Config Manager 2012 SP1 to Config Manager 2012 R2, your existing MDT task sequences probably won't work anymore. They're fairly certain to not work anymore. There are some changes in Config Manager 2012 R2, specifically around network access accounts. You can now have more than one of them. That breaks a lot of the MDT scripts. The necessary code changes to fix that are in MDT 2013, but that means you need to create new task sequences with MDT 2013, which creates a new MDT toolkit package in Config Manager. And then you can migrate your task sequence customizations from the old task sequences to the new ones and then deploy the new ones. The MDT process of integrating with Config Manager, you'd use the Configure Config Manager Integration Wizard. You'll have to repeat that after you install MDT 2013, and then you create the new task sequences. That Config Manager Integration Wizard now only offers an option for MDT 2012 R2. The logic that was there before to handle Config Manager 2007 is gone because it doesn't support 2007 anymore. So when we get into the actual changes, if we go through script by script, bug by bug, and look at everything that's actually changed in MDT, you'll see it's a fairly minor update overall. Not a huge number of changes when you can put all the script changes on one screen, on one slide. We've made some changes to the language UI to fix some Portuguese keyboard layout references. We've fixed some issues with UEFI logic, especially if you're doing UEFI x86 tablets or UEFI pre-staged media deployments. We fixed an issue with the Russian time zone. We fixed some branding logic in UDI. We've added support for the new Server 2012 R2 roles and features. We've made several changes to handle the new network access accounts. We've added support for the new version of PowerShell that's built into Windows 8.1. We've added the new supported platforms and removed platforms that aren't supported anymore. So all of these changes really are, that's it. So the upgrade process of going from 2012 Update 1 to 2012 or to 2013 is going to be fairly straightforward. We've also made a few changes to the task sequence templates to fix some issues on Config Manager. We've fixed a database field. We made it longer so that you can put in longer database application names. We changed some unattend settings to remove some obsolete IE settings. We've removed GPO packs for operating systems we don't support anymore. We fixed problems with Dart, where you'd get an error saying that the WinPE shell.ini couldn't be replaced. We've fixed an issue with the Dart remote control viewer so that we can actually find it. That's it. So overall, MDT 2013 should be a fairly easy upgrade because we're not making this a big feature change. It's primarily about fixing bugs and adding support for the new operating systems. You can continue using the old version for your older OSs and just use 2013 for Windows 7 and above. So if we look at this, not surprisingly, you don't see anything that's really that different than what you saw before. We have the deployment workbench. If we go into help about MDT, we'll see that we're running version 6.2.5019. If we look at the main page with the final release, we'll see that we reference MDT 2013. We talk about the supported operating systems, but other than that, the functionality that you see inside a workbench isn't going to be changed. We can import operating systems for Windows 7, Windows 8.1. We do also offer support for Windows Enterprise Industry 8.1, which is a new version of Windows that's designed for kind of the more specialized uses, for kiosk machines in public spaces, for machines that you would use at airport check-ins, things like that. That version's been available in the past, but it was only licensed to OEMs. With the new Windows 8.1 version, it's available to enterprise customers as well. So you can buy that via volume licensing and deploy it using MDT. We also support Server 2012 R2, so you can add those OSs in there. We can then create task sequences for those OSs. So I can create one for 8.1 or Enterprise Industry or 2012 R2 Data Center. No big changes that you would see in there. The biggest change would be if you wanted to install roles and features. We could add a task into the task sequence to install roles and features and choose a new list for Windows Server 2012 R2 or 2012 R2 Core. There are a few new roles in 2012 R2. There are a few ones that have been removed, so even this list isn't drastically different. As far as the deployment process goes, if we look at this from a client machine, we get the same basic look and feel. We haven't changed the wizards except to fix some of the bugs that we talked about before. So we can run the deployment wizard. Same basic process walkthrough that we had before, where we can choose a Windows 8.1 enterprise task sequence and kick off a deployment. So we'll let that run. Okay, so no big changes there. One of the changes that we made in MDT 2012 Update 1 is something that you would want to be concerned with 8.1 as well, and that's the ability to provision Windows Store apps. How many of you are familiar with Windows Store apps or Windows 8 apps or Windows Modern apps or Metro apps or whatever we want to call them this week? Some number of you. There are two basic processes for these applications. Well, two times two. You can install these from the store. Those get installed per user. You can also sideload them. So as an enterprise, as a customer, you can load these without going through the Windows Store. That process is called sideloading. You can do sideloaded installation, which again is per user. You can also do sideload provisioning, which is per machine. So using MDT, you can sideload provision an app into your image, sysprep and capture that image, then deploy the image so that that app automatically installs for every user when they log on the first time. So in order to do that with MDT, we just need to set up an application that knows how to sideload that, which is just a nice simple dism command. That logic is built into MDT, so it's fairly simple, fairly easy to do. Now on the configuration manager side, there's nothing built into configuration manager to do this sideloading. You can do it yourself if you want. It would just mean that you'd have to build that dism command line yourself. So let's look at what that looks like. No idea why the screen is black. There is a slide in between there that it doesn't want to show. In any case, let's switch back over to MDT, where we can add an application. So if I right-click, I can say that I want to add a new application with source files. I'll set up one of our demo apps, which is called Rounds. I had to browse to a folder that contains the installation files. So there's the folder. It'll put that into a subdirectory on the deployment share. Now I need to specify the command line, and the command line to install one of these modern apps is fairly simple. I just need to specify the name of the appx file. The appx file is basically the package that contains the actual executables for that app. It's effectively just a zip file, but by specifying the name of it, MDT knows that, oh, you want me to provision this application. And as part of that provisioning, it'll build the necessary dism command for you, so you don't need to worry about all those details. So I'll put in the name, and it'll add that. Now when MDT actually goes to provision this app, it'll notice that in that same folder, there's a certificate file. And that certificate file is necessary to run the app on the machine in this case, because this is a self-signed certificate that a Visual Studio developer generated rather than using a corporate code signing certificate. Windows wants to make sure that whatever cert was used to sign that appx file, that it's trusted by Windows. So by taking that certificate and importing it into the trusted root authorities, we can make sure that that actually happens. If this were signed with a corporate CA and you're pushing out the trusted root for that via group policy, then you could delete the certificate out of here and you wouldn't have to worry about it. This app also has a dependent app. So this Microsoft WinJS 1.0.appx, MDT won't take care of installing that automatically, so that would have to be installed separately. So we could set up another app inside of MDT and then make the two dependent on each other. So when you install Rounds, install WinJS first, so we could take care of that without too much trouble. Once we have that, we can go into a task sequence, and in that task sequence, specify that we want to install an application where we can choose that app. So if this were an app that we wanted to include in our image, we can do it this way, rather than choosing it as part of the deployment wizard. And then to make sure it doesn't show up in that wizard, we can check a box that says to hide it in the deployment wizard. Because we've got it in the task sequence, we don't want to see it outside of that. So that's all it takes to put that into a task sequence. So that adds an app, that provisions the app in the system. You can do that for up to 24 apps on Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. Can't provision any more than that. So this is really about the image creation process. It's not about deploying apps subsequently to an already running Windows 8.1 system. For those, you would want to use something like Config Manager or Windows Intune to push those apps to the user. You can install as many apps as you want, sideloaded. You just can't provision more than 24 of them per machine. It's a fine distinction, but one worth keeping in mind. You can also remove some of the inbox apps. So in Windows 8, there are 15 apps built in. Windows 8.1, I think that number goes up to about 20. Most of those apps can be removed. There are a few exceptions to that. The process of removing them is fairly straightforward. We can just run a PowerShell script. So I can add a PowerShell script into the task sequence itself. that PowerShell script just needs to deprovision the applications and deinstall them. There are some blog entries and documentation out there that talks about how to do that, but basically it's fairly simple to just specify the names of the apps that you want to remove, which you can get from PowerShell just by doing get appx package. You can then specify that I want to get those apps from the currently running OS. If they match on that name, then I want to remove them. So not too hard to remove the provisioned apps, but then we also have to remove the installed app. So we have to take one more step to say, get the app for the currently logged on user and go ahead and remove it for the logged on user. So we remove the provisioned app, but it's already been installed for the logged on administrator account. So we also have to uninstall it for that account before we can actually sysprep and capture the image. So easy enough to put that into the task sequence just by adding a step in that says we want to run a PowerShell script, and then we specify the name of the script, and MDT will take care of running that script to perform that operation. So provisioning apps, something you can do for some applications, like inside of Microsoft, we do that for 5 or 6 apps when we push out our standard Windows 8.1 OS. Things like company directories and news apps and company portals and things like that get pushed out as part of the image so that every user has them from the first time they log on to the machine. There is a change in Windows 8.1 in regards to the updates to those inbox applications. So we have these 15 to 20 apps built in. Those apps are the original versions that were there when the OS was released. Those get updated over time, though, and the Windows Store will push out updates as long as you have the Windows Store enabled. In Windows 8, if you disabled the Windows Store, you would never get updates for those built-in applications. Over time, that would mean some of those apps wouldn't be useful anymore. Like some of the Bing apps, if you don't ever update them, they eventually come up with an error message telling you that they're out of date. You need to update to the latest versions in the store. Click here to go to the Windows Store. Well, if you've disabled the Windows Store, you click there, it takes you to the Windows Store and tells you your IT administrator has disabled the store. So effectively, you're stuck. With Windows 8.1, we've fixed that in a couple of ways. One is that you can disable the store for the user and still install app updates. So app updates install automatically in the background, even with the store disabled, so you'll get the latest versions of those apps without doing anything special. That's one side of it, but from an image creation perspective, you'd still like to be able to deploy a Windows 8.1 image with the latest version of the app already pre-installed. And that's something we couldn't do with Windows 8, but we should be able to with Windows 8.1. So starting at GA, we'll start to release MSIs containing those inbox apps that you can then put into MDT. So you add the MSI into MDT, you install the MSI as part of your image creation process. So when the user logs on for the first time, they've already got the latest versions of those apps. So be on the lookout for those. We'll be publishing those to the Windows Update catalog. So you can go out to catalog.update.microsoft.com. Search for those, download them, add them into MDT, and go from there. When we talk about the new ADK includes a new version of Windows PE. That new version of Windows PE has some minor enhancements, like supporting up to 4 terabytes of RAM. It removes some features that no one used anyway, like profiling support, so no big deal there. The biggest thing, though, is it does have some specific hardware requirements, both for Windows PE 4 and with Windows PE 5. So if you're deploying to some older hardware, you may find that while the Windows PE 3 with the Windows AIK and MDT 2012 Update 1 worked just great, when you move to Windows PE 4 or Windows PE 5, now it doesn't work anymore. It blue screens as it's starting up. To work around that, you would have to continue using the Windows AIK version of Windows PE. There is a requirement for the NXPAE and SSE2 processor instructions in order to run these new versions of PE and to run Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. So you wouldn't be able to deploy Windows 8 to those systems. But say you wanted to still deploy Windows 7, you can do that. You would just need to use the older PE to do that. With Config Manager 2012 SP1, either CU2 or CU3, they added the ability to add your own custom boot image into Config Manager so that even though you're using the later Config Manager, which uses PE4, you can use PE3 to do XP and Vista deployments, or even Windows 7. With R2, they'll have that same capability. MDT won't, so in the case of MDT, you would need to continue to use Windows AIK with Windows PE3 if you have systems that are like that. It's a fairly small number of systems that we haven't seen too many cases where this has happened. It's been primarily very low-end servers, very low-end desktops, very old hardware. So that's like 0.1% of the machines that are out there. The biggest one has been VMware 5. So if any of you still running VMware 5, VMware 5 doesn't implement these instructions. Later versions, like 5.1, add support for that. So if you're still running an older version of VMware, you may need to update it in order to run PE4 or PE5. Not a big deal overall. The bigger problem is USMT 6.3. It adds support for Windows 8.1 and Office 2013, but it removes support for capturing user state from Windows XP or Windows Vista. Behind the scenes, it runs the same data migration engine that's used by the Windows update process that you would use to go from Windows 8 to 8.1, and that doesn't support capturing state from XP or Vista. How many of you are looking to deploy directly from XP to 8.1? Okay, it's a fair number, not as many in this crowd as there were yesterday, but we've had a lot of interest in that scenario, which surprised us actually, because we thought most people would be well on their way to getting off of Windows XP already, which would mean going to Windows 7 or Windows 8 because they're already released and you could be busy doing it. But for those of you who are waiting until the last minute, okay, you can do this directly from XP to Windows 8.1, but you can't do it using USMT 6.3. So how can you do it? 6.3 supports restoring to 8.1. 5.0 supports capturing from XP and Vista. Fortunately, you can use the two of them together. So you can use 5.0 to capture the user state from XP and 6.3 to restore it to 8.1. So we're working on that. We'll have the full documentation on how to do that, but in the meantime, we can just show you that, yes, it is indeed possible, just through some simple script changes. For how many of you haven't even seen an XP system in the last 2 to 3 years? Every time I see one of these, I freak out. In any case, we can kick off a deployment here. Contoso, oops, it helps if I can spell. So I can kick off the MDT deployment process. So this is MDT 2013. It does have a few script changes that I've made to it so that it knows that I'm on XP. I want to be able to specify to use USMT 5. Administrator. So I'll kick that process off and then we can look at the script changes themselves. Hopefully we'll do a KB or a white paper or something that describes exactly how to do this, but the process itself works reasonably well. We'll capture the user state from all the users on the XP system and restore them onto Windows 8.1. So we will have a supported option for those users who are looking to do this. Give the wizard a minute to pop up here. I always forget, too, how slow Windows XP is compared to the newer OSs. So it'll gather some information about the machine. We'll walk through the same wizard that we had before, and we'll get that process started. While it's thinking about that, let's look at the script changes. So basically, we had to add logic that says if we're not in config manager and we're currently in an OS greater than or equal to 6.1, so Windows 7 or above, then we want to use the folder on the deployment share called USMT5. Well, it's a weird oddity with MDT 2013 that the USMT5 folder contains USMT 6.0. Don't ask. It's a long story. In any case, if you're then running an older OS, so if you're running a version less than 6.1, so Windows XP or Windows Vista, then we need to use a folder called USMTX. The name doesn't matter, it just has to be 5 characters long, because it's going to use the 5th character for one weird reason or another. So that's basically the logic that we had to add to say if we're on a new OS, 7, 8, or 8.1, use USMT6, which is in the USMT5 folder. Otherwise, use USMT5, which is in the USMTX folder. Just put it there by default. So that's the entirety of the changes that we needed to make there. The other change then was, well, where does that USMTX folder come from? So I've got it on my deployment share. If we look on my deployment share under Tools, it helps if I hit the right folder. If we go under Tools X64, we can see that USMT5 folder. If we look at the properties of, say, loadstate.exe, we can see that's actually USMT 6.3. If we look in USMTX, properties on that one will show 6.2, but even though it shows 6.2, they called it USMT5. Another long story. So then the question becomes, well, how do you actually get those pieces there? And the easiest way is to just put them there manually. And to do that, it's easiest to install the ADK on a Windows 8 system. In this case, I've installed it. So I've got the ADK installation folder and the user state migration tool folder. Underneath that, I've got an AMD 64 and x86 version. So I just need to robocopy the x86 version over to that USMTX folder, and the same thing for the x86 folder, just copy it over there. I've already done it, so it happens fairly quickly. And then we can throw away that Windows 8 system. So fairly easy to set up. Once it's there, once we have the script changes, we can then say that we want to deploy 8.1 Enterprise. And walk through the rest of the wizard. So we can let that process run for a while and come back and check on it in a little bit. So XP to 8.1, yes, we can do that. The next challenge then usually with Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 is, well, we want to be able to configure the start screen. And first, we've added a whole bunch of new policies in 8.1 to let you specify the behavior of the start screen. So now you can specify that I want to boot to desktop, or I can go to the all app screen instead of the start screen, or I can change the category or listing order that's being displayed on the start screen. I can show the desktop background on the start screen so that it's easier to transition back and forth. So lots of new options there, all of which are controllable via group policy. But when it comes to imaging, so if we're using MDT to create our image, we may want to specify an initial start screen layout. where that layout is the first thing the users are going to see when they log on to Windows 8.1. So you can customize that. You can take out apps that you don't want. You can rearrange the icons that are there and just get it to a nice, simple layout. So the challenge then is, well, how exactly do you do that with MDT? With Windows 8, the process was documented through some blog entries that walked you through the steps of manually configuring it, running sysprep, then grabbing an apps folder layout.bin file, which worked but wasn't terribly convenient. With 8.1, the process is a little simpler. We can now configure the start screen and then run a PowerShell script to export it, so we don't need to run sysprep on the OS to get it in a format that we can add to our image. We can then take that the binary file that we export using PowerShell, add it into our task sequence, and then drop it into the default user profile so that when the user logs on for the first time, they get a new profile created. It contains that layout file. That becomes the default layout. So for that, let's look at this on a Windows 8.1 system. Which isn't on the internet, so it's complaining about Windows Update. But I've changed the layout, which we've made that easier with 8.1 as well. We get into kind of this editing mode where we can change, we can do multi-select, we can resize, we can type in names, so easier to configure than it was before. But once we get a layout that we like, something like this, we can then go to PowerShell. So I can go to the desktop, bring up a PowerShell command prompt, and then do export start layout. And I can export it in one of two formats, either as a bin file or as an XML file. And then I specify where to export it to, so I can say C layout.xml. Now this XML file isn't usable as part of an image process. It's useful for group policy. So if you wanted to specify a group policy that says the start screen layout should be fixed like this and users can't change it, well, you would go through the same basic series of steps. You would lay out the screen the way you want. You would export this XML file, then go into the group policy editor and say the start screen control layout file is this and enforce it on this group of users. So anyone who receives that group policy would have this profile enforced on them. The XML file itself is fairly simple. It just specifies the groups, the names of those groups. In this case, the group didn't have a name. The apps that are included in it, the size of the applications, nothing too overly complicated there. So you would just take that XML file and add it to that group policy. But now in the imaging case, we want to do export start layout as bin, and then specify some network location where we want to copy it. So I could put Contoso GMT deployment share. Man, can't type today. And I'll call it apps folder layout.bin. The name doesn't really matter when it's written. It just matters when it's placed into the default user profile. So we'll leave it as apps folder layout.bin because that's what Windows expects to see. So I've written that to the deployment share. Now on my task sequence, I just need to add a step that copies that to the right place. So I don't need to add it to the image. I don't need to do anything with my image itself. I just need to have a step in here that says to copy from script root apps folder layout.bin to the C user's default app data local Microsoft Windows folder. So that places it into the default user profile. When the user logs in, they end up picking up that as the default layout. So they'll see that layout instead of the normal one. So not too difficult to do. Unfortunately, there is a bug in the Windows 8.1 preview, which is why that's necessary to do using a copy command. In Windows 8.1 RTM, you can actually do that using the import start layout PowerShell commandlet. So you can specify import, start layout, and then the path to that bin file, and it knows to put it into the default user profile. On 8.1 preview, it actually breaks if you're not doing that to a mounted image. They didn't test it with the running operating system, but with 8.1 RTM, they fixed that, and it works just fine. Okay, so that's not too bad. Let's go back and see how our actual deployments are doing. So this is the Windows XP deployment. It's in Windows PE at the moment. Let's kind of jump ahead just because I don't think we want to wait around long enough for this to actually finish. So I took a snapshot of it later in the process. Where it's already done. Apply that. Just thinking about it. My bare metal deployment from before is still running along okay. There, the checkpoint's done. Okay, so in this case, the deployment's completed, the machine is rebooted, and I can log back on with my local account. And the first log on for any user is going to run through this wizard. This wizard is actually installing provisioned apps. So we've got the 20 built-in provisioned apps. The first time you log in, all of those need to install. The additional apps that you would add into your image. So if you added another 24 into your actual image, those would install at this point too. So first login, any provisioned app that isn't yet installed would actually install. So you don't necessarily want to put too many of them in there because it does increase the amount of time that this takes. We have made some great improvements in Windows 8.1 to make this quicker. It used to take a few minutes in Windows 8 and 8.1. Not quite as bad. Whether it will finish while I'm talking here or not, we'll see. There's other things going on in the background. But basically, after this process is done, all the apps will be ready. There's a question.
Disable the tutorial. Do you still see this?
Yes. So there is a tutorial video that's still there, and it's been enhanced in Windows 8.1 to tell you that you don't need to do anything. Just watch. But there is a group policy that you can turn it off. So if you set the group policy to turn it off, you'll still see this pulsating colored background screen on first logon while it's installing apps. So you can reduce the amount of time this takes just by reducing the number of apps that are there. It's pretty much directly proportional to the number of apps that needs to be provisioned. There's no way to really shorten this. There are some mechanisms with VDI. If you're using VDI, you can have a shared profile disk, a VHD, where you put this pre-staged basically onto a separate disk so that if you're using non-persistent sessions, you don't need to go through this every single time. But for normal installations, you would have to walk through this. So once that's done, the start screen would load for the first time. And the start screen is going to hopefully be laid out with the layout that I had set up before. That, if you didn't put in your own custom layout, the default start screen layout would pick up all of the apps that were pre-configured by Microsoft in the standard image. It's not going to have any pinned icons for anything else. So if you install Office, if you install any other applications, they're not going to be on the start screen. There's a change in behavior in Windows 8.1 where new apps, as they get installed, also don't end up on the start screen. They don't get pinned by default. So the user would have to find the icons that they wanted to pin on the All Apps screen and then right-click and say Pin to Start. That is a change in Windows 8.1, basically to match the behavior of what happens on Windows Phone, where nothing gets pinned by default. There is a group policy on Windows 8.1 where you can pin apps at installation time, but that group policy would need to be populated with a list of the app IDs, all of the apps that you want to pin automatically at install time. So, like for Office, if you wanted Office, when it installs, to automatically pin Word, Excel, PowerPoint, etc., you can look at a machine where Office is installed. There's an get start apps PowerShell commandlet that will list all the IDs of what's on the start screen. Then you can just copy and paste those IDs into the group policy so that when it installs, they end up getting pinned. So, okay, I've logged on here. I have the layout that's close to what I had put in before. Apparently, I did it even simpler the last time I went through this. And the desktop has my data files on it, so the user state was migrated, but it's black. It didn't migrate the background wallpaper. It won't migrate the default XP backgrounds over to Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. Apparently, our copyright on that image said that it could only be used with Windows XP, so we can't migrate that wallpaper forward. So, as a result, I end up with a black background, but it's easy enough to change that to personalize it with a different background. That would be what it would normally look like. So definitely doable. We can migrate the data. We can we can specify the start screen layout. We can remove inbox applications. All of that's doable with Windows 8.1. So how are we doing on time? Looks like we've got about 10 minutes left, which will be primarily for Q&A. So basically what we would ask you to do at this point is try out MDT 2013. The preview is currently on connect.microsoft.com. You can sign up through the Client Management Connect site and the Microsoft Deployment Group to be able to access that preview, and also to be notified when the RTM version comes out. So you get an email at RTM to tell you that the version's now available on the Download Center to download. We do have some community sources where we have routine discussions of MDT and OS deployment in general. There's a mailing list hosted through myitforum.com that's fairly active, probably about, I'd say, 20 to 30 emails a day talking about MDT and OS deployment in general. There are also TechNet forums where we have healthy discussions around MDT that I don't get out to nearly as frequently as I would like, but generally once or twice a week I'll check and see what's going on out there. We also have a Facebook page, so you can sign up, you can like that Facebook page, and we'll put out notifications of interesting topics around OS deployment and MDT so that it's not intended to spam you or hit you with advertising. It's really just to say, oh, here are some things you might be interested in if you're interested in MDT and OS deployment. So with that, any additional questions around MDT, Config Manager, OS deployment, Windows 8.1? Sure. Yes. The reasoning that the task sequence editor can't be resized has to do with the framework that it runs in. The MDT workbench runs as an MMC snap-in, and MMC snap-ins are very rigid, so you can't get a resizable dialog out of it. Config Manager doesn't use the MMC anymore. They've created their own management framework, and that management framework has resizable windows. So that's the main reason. There have been discussions around reworking MDT so it doesn't use MMC anymore. That should happen at some point. It's just a question of when the resources will be available to do that, because that's not a small change. But that's the basic logic behind it. Anything else?
Sure.
So the question was, can you use the apps folder layout bin if you're doing copy profile? And yes, you definitely can. Be careful of copy profile with Windows 8.1 preview. It doesn't work very well at all. It doesn't work at all. It works partially, but don't do it. There are some release notes that talk about issues that you'd run into there. But when you run sysprep with, well, you generally run sysprep without specifying copy profile. Copy profile specified at deployment time. So you run sysprep. Sysprep creates the app folder layout.bin in the current user profile, which is the administrator's profile. Copy profile then at deployment time says take the administrator's profile and turn it into the default user profile. So as a result, it carries that apps folder layout bin file forward into the new OS. So that works just fine, no problem. The mechanism here is basically just avoiding copy profile altogether. You just need to make sure that that apps folder layout bin file ends up in the default user profile before a normal user logs in. In this case, the task sequence runs with the local administrator already logged in. So the local administrator would have the default layout, but subsequent users would pick up the new layout from the default user profile and apps folder layout.bin. So either way works. Okay, anything else? How many of you are planning to deploy Windows 8.1 starting in October? Quickly. So, yeah, the biggest things will be to get the infrastructure updates in place, get your new version of MDT installed, get the new config manager in place. App compat we don't expect to be much of a challenge. Drivers shouldn't be much of a challenge. The rest of it should be fairly straightforward. I did notice as I was going through this deployment that there is one other annoyance that we should look at real quick because it bugs me. Our XP system, when it got migrated to Windows 8.1, stuck with a screen resolution of 1024 by 768. And these days, most systems will automatically figure out what screen resolution should be because they use, in the case of laptops, they have standard LCDs, but most people have moved to LCD monitors as well. So as a result, the entries that MDT puts into the unattend.xml to specify screen resolution actually get in the way. So the easiest way is to go into the unattend.xml, find them, and delete them, because they really aren't necessary anymore. Oops. So with those removed from the unattend.xml, basically we allow Windows and the display driver to choose the appropriate screen resolution, and that way we would end up with an actual widescreen display rather than 1024 by 768. So if you've ever wondered why your MDT built systems look stretched or have black bars at the side of the screen, that's why. Take those entries out of the unattend. Okay, another question. To make them available via WSUS. There have been some discussions about providing them directly via WSUS, which makes them a little easier to deploy. There are some challenges with that, some technical challenges with that. So if they can work through those technical challenges, yes, but at the very least, they'll be downloadable through the Windows Update catalog. So still working on it. Maybe they can get that to work. Okay, any last questions? If not, we'll wrap it up there. Definitely fill out your evaluations, and if you've got any other questions, you can find me here the rest of the week. Thanks for attending.